All right, so we are beginning Yemei Hashem tonight on page 45. So just to reorient ourselves a little bit, you remember again in last week's share, we had some spirited conversation. Some good and deep-spirited conversation. We began... Oh, it was you. So we began Os Yud Tes last week. And remembering, I will say just kind of like a quick synopsis to bring us up to where we are tonight. So we were speaking about the concept, the Piagetna said that sometimes when people have inspiration, often what ends up happening is they second-guess the inspiration, right? If they begin to think to themselves, well, maybe it's not genuine inspiration, maybe it's not inspiration, maybe it's elation, maybe it's some other type of corrupted simcha that I think is inspiration, but it's really not. And essentially what the Piagetna said, right, his simple Eitzah was, remember again, what was the Eitzah of the Piagetna? What was the Piagetna's advice? Who cares? Just ride the wave. Whatever it is, maybe it is genuine, maybe it's not genuine, but what does it matter? What does it really matter? At the end of the day, as long as you are feeling that wave of positivity, as long as you're feeling that wave of inspiration, at the end of the day, that's what truly matters. I will say, I was thinking about this a little bit, and you know, it's not just the Piagetna in general. We have this concept that it's termed different ways. Sometimes it's termed, you know, fake it till you make it, you know, or sometimes it's termed shelo lishma, ba lishma. But we have this concept in Yiddishkeit that not everyone's going to feel the things that we're supposed to feel at every single moment. And sometimes, like, if you wait to feel the things you're supposed to feel, how you feel them, when you're supposed to feel them, then ultimately, again, you'll accomplish nothing. So sometimes the Piagetna says, just go with it. Go with it. There's a wave of positivity. Is it genuine inspiration? Is it not genuine inspiration? Okay, you know what? It's a shayla. It's a good kasha. Maybe it is, maybe it's not. But to a certain degree, it doesn't make a difference. If you have that moment of elevation, that moment of elation, whether it's being derived from your closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu or from something else in life, if it puts you in a good place, go with it. Now, I will say, now remember,
is
again...
Is that only the confines of something Kedusha, or could that be something secular too?
All Kiddusha. Right. This goes back like to the music discussion
right.
as well.
Right.
He's talking about at least the feeling of inspiration is coming from Kiddusha. Okay. Now, whether or not it's genuine inspiration or genuine Kiddusha, that's a different discussion, right? That kind of remains to be seen. But Lamaisa will say his whole point is that if you're feeling the inspiration, ultimately again, just go with it. Now we'll say this week's shir, the Piagetna gives the counterbalance to that. And I will say, I want to point out, it's not a chiddush, right? Remember again, at the end of the day, what has been the point that the Piagetna has been trying to make to us over and over and over is find your way, find your avenue to self-transcendence. So if that's singing a niggun, if it's finding a song and closing your eyes and just losing yourself in the niggun, then go with it. And if it's imagining that you're standing before the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even so far, like the Ravid said, even so far as to imagine HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a physical presence, which is like an incredible idea that everybody jumps to the Ravid about, whatever you need to do to kind of, whatever, so to speak, in quotations, you need to do in order to kind of get yourself started, to step out of yourself. We'll say, isn't that what we're learning over here? We're learning how to step out of ourselves, right? Often in life, what just ends up happening is we live within the confines of our physical shell. Like we remember again when we started this year? Remember when we started this year about 4.5 years ago? And, right, and we were talking about the idea that Piagetna said that one of the greatest challenges is we only define reality by what our senses could perceive, right? And remember again, one of the first things that Piagetna taught us, the Rebbe taught us, was you need to understand that there are things that you can't perceive with your senses, but they are just as real as the things you can perceive with your senses. Now, I will say, that's a big thing to wrap my head around. That's a big thing to wrap, that the things that I can't perceive with my senses are just as real as the things I can perceive with my senses. Wow. And this is what this is all built on. So how do I get to that level, right? Again, I can't let a year go by. How do I get to Shalashudis when I can feel that what? When I can feel what? The chariot of the Ribbono Shel Olam just charge. How do you feel that? Well, the first step is I need to step out of myself. How do you step out of yourself? So we'll say it's what the Piagetna calls inspiration. What are moments of inspiration? Moments of inspiration is where I'm able to step out of myself. You know, some might call it an out-of-body experience, but it doesn't have to be an out-of-body experience. I'll say we've all had moments where, like, you feel like you're outside of yourself. Either like you're outside of yourself looking down, or like just for that one moment you feel a little bit removed from your physicality and you just feel like you're something bigger, whatever it might be. So that's what all of this is about, figuring out how do we step out of ourselves. Now we'll say, page 45. Writes the Piyajasana. Avo. And I will say, here is the very important caveat to this discussion. Very important caveat. Avo. Al tidamish shemotulacha la'avar es olamcha biloni sayon ubechina atzmis legamri. Now I will say, so what did the Piyajasana say in last week's share? There are some, bless you, there are some people, purists. How do purists operate, right? What purists do is when they feel a moment of inspiration, what do they do?
Discount.
They analyze it, right? And discount, right? Is it inspiration? It's not inspiration. It's true inspiration, right? So what they do is they kind of like analyze and overanalyze and turn it over to. So the Piyajasana was saying, don't do that, just ride the wave. Now the Piyajasana says, but one second. I'm not telling you that you shouldn't engage in introspection. Right? In other words, you go away from last week's share and say, okay, the Piyajasana told me that if it feels good, just go with it, ride the wave, and that's it. Don't worry about genuine, not genuine. Piyajasana says, don't take my words to mean that you don't need a process of bechina atzmis. What does bechina atzmis means? Self-evaluation. All right? Every person needs to engage in a serious process of self-evaluation. Sometimes a person does have to take a little bit of time, take a step back and say, all right, where is this? Like, okay, I'm feeling maybe quote-unquote inspired, or I'm feeling high, so to speak, because I'm feeling good. Where is that coming from? Right? Is it from Kiddusha? Or is it from, because also remember again, a person could engage in a whole bunch of negative stuff and feel really good. Feel really good, right? Maybe even feel like a little bit happy, right? But yet it's coming from the wrong source. So the Piaget says, please don't take my words to mean that a person doesn't have to introspect. And don't take my words to mean that a person doesn't have to do that bechina atzmis, that self-evaluation. He goes on, he says, Hasmi lahaskir, zeo achilik. So we'll say, watch this. Here's the distinction. Ha chosid, ha oved, kisha'ola bois oris misora. The chosid, and I will say, that's what we're all striving to be. At the end of the day, what do I want to be? I want to be a chosid. Not talking about your clothing, whatever clothing you want to wear. Talking about being a real chassid, right? A chassid nafshi. I want to be a chassid in my heart. That's what I want. So says the Piyajetzna. What do you have to do to be a chassid? Kishaolabo is oris misora. What does a chassid do? When a moment of inspiration occurs, what does a chassid do? What does he do? He goes with it. Misora, he rides it. Again, Davins plugs into it. But the point is misora. The moment comes, he goes with it. But the chassid, I will say, here's the chap. See, I will say, do you know what separates the chassid from the chassidically challenged? You know what separates them, right? See, the chassid knows that if he's going to be, right, if there's something external that inspires him, fantastic. What if that particular day there's nothing externally inspiring? What does the chassid do? He self-inspires. He self-inspires. No, not drinks, right? That's later on, right? Like, he self-inspires. I will say, this is incredible. I can't tell you how many people walk around, and I hear this all the time. I'm waiting to be inspired. Like, what are you waiting for? I'm waiting to be inspired. I'm ready. I'm just waiting to be inspired. No, what you really mean is you're lazy, right? So you're waiting for someone else to come and do the work that you really need to do for yourself. Let's just call it what it is. You're not waiting. You're lazy. Let's say, you know how often this happens? We outsource. Like, it's kind of like what Dell does, like with their call centers, right? Right? They're somewhere halfway around the world, right? So we often do the same thing. Like, we take a page from the Dell playbook and we use it for our ruchnius, right? So like, I'm waiting for someone to be in. So suddenly again, like it's the rabbi's job to inspire me, right? It's the rebbe's job to inspire me. It's the teacher's job. No, it's not. No one has a job to inspire you. Your inspiration is your responsibility. Your inspiration is your obligation. Now, Does it help to surround oneself with inspirational people? Of course. Of course, of course, of course. We always want to surround ourselves with good influences. You know what makes a chassid? When he has someone to inspire him, he's inspired. Fantastic. But when he doesn't have someone to inspire him, he self-inspires. He takes responsibility over his own personalistic growth and inspiration. Ein hadavar talui ela bi. My inspiration is my responsibility and my responsibility alone. It is not up to anyone else about how inspired or lack thereof I am. And that's what a chassid is. A chassid, if he's inspired by someone around him, fantastic. And if he's not, there's no one inspirational around me today, or maybe I don't live in a place where there's inspiration, or maybe the people who try to inspire me don't inspire me. Okay, it happens. It happens. Self-inspire. Self-inspire. He goes on. He says, so therefore the chassid experiences inspiration. And how does he experience inspiration? One of two ways. Either he is externally inspired by someone, or he self-inspires. He self-inspires. Okay. Sabah says, go through it. So now the chassid feels the inspiration. Beautiful. Fantastic. What does the chassid do as soon as the wave of inspiration subsides a little bit? What does he do? The achrazeh, mavchin uminase es im emes haya hadavar. So we'll say, after kind of like the wave of inspiration kind of like flows over him, he then does what? He then does what? Like a post-inspiration analysis. Let's take a look back at this moment of inspiration, right? What was it? Where did it come from? Right? Where did it come from? Was it good? Was it not good? Was it real inspiration? Or maybe it was just some other type of elation. The chassid, after he undergoes this process, then takes a step back to analyze at the end of the day, ultimately again, what is it that he's truly feeling? He goes on, why? Kidei, shebepam hashnia teestrakshus yotamisis. It's mamish. Have a look at this. Little boy standing by a duck. Ah. Shalom aleichem tzaddik, how are you? You want to bring a chair? Your dad's not here? Is he in shul? Okay. All right, good. I could. He was waiting like by Hillel, by the window over there. I'm like, boy, he's going to grow up. I started, he's going to be on the therapist couch. I was standing at the shul, the rabbi didn't invite me in. I'm like, all right. Good. So let's go back there. So therefore, says the Piaget, he says, so what happens? Then afterwards he goes ahead and he does the post-shira. Good evening, boys. Good evening. Welcome. Baruch haba. Welcome. Welcome. So he goes ahead and he does the post-inspiration analysis. Right? What was it? What was it? Was it good? Was it not good? And therefore he goes, therefore, kidei, shebe pam hashnia, teyesfrakshus yoser amisis. So I will say ultimately again, so that this time, next time, the inspiration is even more general. We'll say, this is a very profound idea. And we'll say, in general, this is a good idea. You know, the Svarim bring down that sometimes it's always good to do post-actional analysis in general. Right? We'll say, like, you ever have an interaction with someone, and then afterwards, like, you play it over in your mind. And you're like, you know what? I didn't need to say that. I didn't need to do that. Like, it wasn't necessary. And the truth is, like, I see you feel bad a little bit afterwards, but Lamai said it's so helpful because now in my mind, like, I'm reviewing the events of the past in an effort to go ahead and do better going forward. So the Piagetsna says, after a moment of inspiration, what do? First, ride the wave, right? Whether it's external inspiration, internal expiration, and not expiration, inspiration, right? No expiration, right? Ride the wave. Then when it's over, let me do the post-inspirational analysis. What was it? Where did it come from? Was it good? Wasn't it good? Were there elements in it that were pure, elements in it that were impure? Right? I would say, like, again, a person could go ahead and be it a fabring, be a shem, make a lechayim. And I would say it could happen that a person has too many lechayims. Right? So in the moment, you're like, this is the best, right? This is great. And then what happens? Like, you review it after, it's like, oh my God, I just made such a fool out of myself. But yet in the moment, you were like, I am like the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, right? All I'm missing is my white donkey. I'm telling you, I'm the Mashiach. Like, I'm going to bring salvation to the universe, right? And then I'm like, oh my God, I'm like an idiot, right? So I'll say, so, So, and it's important. I think we all have moments. Gauging by the response, we've all had moments like this, right? Right? So, say, so, right? So you go ahead and you look back. But that's a perfect example. So now I look back at that. What do I see from that? I see that making a lachaim with a hele gechevra could be very powerful. That's what I learned. What I also learn is take it easy. Right? What I also learn is moderation. Right? What I also learn is I can have all the inspiration, but don't get carried away. Because that's where everything gets unhealthy. So that's a perfect example of what the Piagetsna is describing. In the moment of inspiration, go with it. Once it subsides, ultimately, again, do the post-inspiration analysis. See what worked. See what didn't work. He says, Umafrid esapsolas minasolas. As it says, Piagetsna, do borer. Right? What's borer? Right, borer is one of the lamedes malachas, one of the 39 malachas, of separating, again, the wheat from the chaff. So much of life is borer. Right? So much of life is separating out the impurities and holding on to the good. So same thing with inspiration. After a moment of inspiration, do your borer. Right? Take the good stuff and then set aside the negative stuff. Why? That's something amazing happens. So then the next time that situational inspiration occurs, I'm better able to manage it because I know what works and I know what doesn't work. But again, everything comes back to the same thing, which is, in the moment of inspiration, what does the Piagetsna suggest? Moment of inspiration, ride the wave. Ride the wave. In other words, don't start doubting the inspiration in the moment when you're experiencing it. Let yourself experience that moment. Afterwards, then you're going to have to go ahead and do the analysis to make sure it was pure, to make sure it was good, to make sure it was appropriate.
Is it possible through doing that, what he's trying to bring you to is, if you're inspired, go with it. But you'll start to do the analysis and realize what's real and what isn't, and you'll become less inspired by the stuff that isn't and more inspired by the stuff that is. You won't be inspired anymore.
Correct. Because you realize it's not inspiration. Right. That is correct. Right. That is correct. Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, you said to think back on it after the fact and then see if it was pure, if it was, like, from good intentions or not. So what happens if you do think back on it and then you're like, oh, never mind, it wasn't from, like, the right place, right. And then it, like...
Don't do it again. That's it. Right? There. No. Don't seek out that avenue for inspiration because you know that it's not inspiration. Absolutely. Again, right, the past is the past. Like I can't undo what was done. But now that I did the post-inspirational analysis, now I come to know what is really inspirational and what is not. So the Rebbe goes on. He says, I will say, Masha'inke. But again, he keeps on reinforcing, but don't let the analysis get in the way of the inspiration, right? In other words, the Rebbe keeps on stressing is allow yourself to experience the inspiration. That's what's so incredibly important. After the fact, do the analysis, but ultimately, again, b'shas maisa, so to speak, while the inspiration is occurring, allow yourself to feel it.
If you do the analysis and you realize it wasn't real inspiration, but if you get inspired by it again, you should leave it alone. I mean, like,
you're not going to get inspired by it again if you realize it's not real inspiration.
I mean, if you happen to get inspired, I mean, you can still
But you won't. I'm saying you only get inspired by something that you think is inspirational. If you go through a process and you realize it's not inspirational, it might feel good, it might be enjoyable, but you'll realize that's not inspiration.
Like drinking too much, like the Rav said.
Right.
When you drink too much, you realize, I felt it, but I look like an idiot.
Correct. So it doesn't mean you're not going to drink too much again. You will, but you realize that's just because... No, it's important. But you'll realize that's just because you have a self-control issue. That's a self-control issue now. So now it's no longer about inspiration. It's like, okay, I have other issues in life that I need to deal with, but I know absolutely clearly that it's not inspiration. So again, the post-inspirational analysis gives me clarity, ultimately, again, on what is inspiration and or what is inspirational, what's not inspirational. And I will say, the PhD says, Masha'inkena chokrim hayaveshim. Let's listen to what he describes. What are chokrim hayaveshim? Dry intellectuals, right? Dry intellectuals, right? So the dry intellectuals, I will say, Hakifufin tachas yitzram hara rachmar l'slan, lifnei kol safek shal nisayin kvar madichin es hakol min agashtava. So I will say, the dry intellectuals, says the Piagetsna, they never even allow inspiration to get off the ground. Why? Because the moment they begin to feel something, what are they doing? They're not even suppressing. It's even worse. They're doubting. They're doubting it, right? From the moment the feeling bubbles up, it's like, it's not real. It's not real. Or is it real? So there's never even a chance. Now, by the way, they might be right. See, that's the interesting part. The Piaget is absolutely, I'll say, this is something very important. There are a lot of things in life that feel good, and when we're doing them, we think they're inspirational, and then we look back, and they were not inspirational, right? They felt good, they were enjoyable, and it doesn't mean that they were usser or bad, but they were not. We'll see, by the way, because I know the big question you're asking is, well, how do you know if something was inspirational or not? So we're going to see that in just a moment. So I'll say, what's incredible to recognize is, so there are times where at the end of the day, like, after the fact, I recognize that what I thought was inspirational is not inspirational. But Lamaisa, what the Piaget is advocating for is go through the process. Let the feeling course through you. He says those who ultimately are kind of the dry intellectuals, they don't even allow the feeling to get off the ground because the feeling is doubted from the beginning, so it never has a chance to germinate. Now, let's look at the next paragraph. Here we go. Listen to this. So we'll say, of course, now the million-dollar question is, so how do you know what is inspirational and what's not inspirational, right?
It doesn't matter.
Well, it doesn't, in other words, it doesn't matter at the moment you're feeling, right? Right? Because Scott's saying, in other words, when I have the feeling, it doesn't matter, right? When I have the feeling, ultimately, again, the goal is just go with the feeling. But in my post-inspiration analysis, when I need to figure out, was that actual inspiration or was it just feel good? How do I measure that? They both say this piece over here is a transformative piece. Look what he writes. Page 45, second paragraph. Hani Sayon, Ha Pasha Tu Lanu Shez Boni Kalechar Esatzmo. The Omar. Halo Reishis Tachlisinu Shez Chanel Ba'avodas Hamachshava Hikidei. Shenucha Likpots Kfitza Achos Mimal Legufeinu V'chushen Avodim Shalem. I will say, here it is. What is our entire avoda? So up until now, we always thought that our entire avoda was simply about stepping out of ourselves. I will say, Piaget now adds in one more piece. So inspiration is about stepping out of yourself in order to be able to exercise restraint. See, I will say, what's the goal, right? What's the goal? The goal in life is to be able to exercise restraint, is the ability to control myself and hold myself back from certain things. That's inspiration, Chavra. That's inspiration. Or say it a little bit differently. What is the definition of an inspirational event? Get ready for this. What's the definition of an inspirational event? Maishi. No one was standing at. I told him he was mamish like Hillel at the skylight. At the sky. No, it was the Torah. It was the Torah. I'm telling you. He wanted to learn. It wasn't the Chalon. He was sitting literally at the window. I invited him in. He said, my daddy's not here. All right. So I'll say, so listen to this. So this is an incredibly transformational piece. I'll say, here it is. What is, first one second, Chavar L'Chaim. L'chaim, because the Piagetna is about to change our lives. Emir Tzashem L'chaim to our Rebbe, who adds so much to the way we live, to the way we see our Kodesh Baruch Hu, and to the way we see ourselves each and every day. L'chaim. Suppose, listen to this. Says the Piagetna, what is the definition of an inspirational event? So an inspirational event is an event that allows me, as we spoke about before, to take a step out of myself. Right? That's what we're aiming for. I don't want to be confined by the senses. I don't want to be confined by my physicality. I want to be able to transcend. So therefore, an inspirational event is an event where I take a step out of myself. But Rabbi say, what is, when you take a step out of yourself, what is the goal? The goal is to take a step out of one's self to be able to restrain, control, and limit one's self. What is the pinnacle of spiritual accomplishment? The pinnacle of spiritual accomplishment is when I place my spiritual needs above my physical needs. And when does that manifest itself in the most acute way? When my body wants one thing and my neshama knows it's not good. So if you're living within yourself, chances are, body's going to win 9 out of 10 times. But if I'm living outside of myself, the neshama has become the dominant force. Like the Piaget said, that the neshama is in the driver's seat, and suddenly I have the ability to exercise restraint. I will say that, how do you know if you've had an inspirational moment in life? Do you have a greater sense of self-restraint? If the answer to that is yes, inspirational moment. If the answer is no, it was not an inspirational moment. Doesn't mean it was a bad thing, but it wasn't inspirational. I will say, look at the words of the Piagetsna. He says, this is incredible. He says the goal over here, the third line in the second paragraph, the goal is to literally jump out of the body, right? To just take one step out of the body. And to control, we'll say, how many of us go through life and our bodies control us? My urges, my wants, my desires, they control me. I'm a slave to them. I'm a slave to them. Right? At the end of the day, I don't make any independent decisions. I'm driven by my wants, my desires, my lust. What's inspiration? Inspiration is when you're able to say, body, you don't control me. I control you. I'm not subject to the whims, the wants, and desires of physicality. I don't just do whatever feels good. I don't just do whatever I want to do. My neshama's in charge. And when my neshama is in charge, we're going to make good, informed decisions about how we live and what we're going to do. So I will say, a moment or an event which creates a greater sense of neshama control, which manifests itself in greater self-control, that's inspiration. I will say, is that not the most astounding definition you have ever heard for inspiration before in your life? Is that not? No, Chavra? Is this on? Hello? Hello? Is this on? Is this on? Hey, let's say, this is, I'm taking away the drinks. And let's say, think about it, just a moment. We struggle, like, what's inspired? What's it? It's very simple. After a moment of quote unquote inspiration, are you more in control of yourself or not? If you are more in control of yourself, your neshama's in the driver's seat, you've taken a step out of your body, you're in control of your body, you're in control of your desires, that's inspiration. That's inspiration.
But after the inspiration, that's going to happen? After the inspiration goes away, that's going to happen?
I know. So remember, all of these things ebb and flow, right? In other words, we're talking, even if you just define it by the moment of inspiration, right? Because like most things don't last for very long, right? Life is all about constantly in self-inspiring in order to be able to, but again, if you want to know if an experience, right? Because we're looking at this through an experiential lens. If I had an experience and I want to know, was this an inspirational experience or not? There's one simple question. How did you feel in the aftermath of the experience? Did you feel like your neshama got into the driver's seat? Did you feel like your neshama stepped out of your body? Do you feel like at the end of the day, you're able to exercise more self-restraint or not? That's the question. So we'll say this. Piagetsna goes on. He says, this is incredible. He says, Lachin, anasena esatzmi, ve'erem pala avodasi zualai. So let me see. What level of restraint do I have? In be'emes, we'll say it's incredible. In be'emes, moshal ani alatzmi, ata, am I more in control of myself now than I was before? See, I will say, it's incredible. Everybody thinks inspiration is feeling good, right? Everybody thinks inspiration is feeling holy, right? Everybody thinks inspiration is just like, oh, I feel so close. No. Inspiration is the moment when your neshama becomes dominant over your body. And how do you know when your neshama becomes dominant over your body? How do you know that? When you have more self-restraint. That's why, by the way, if you'll notice going back, moments of inspiration which come from a lack of self-restraint, you now know are not moments of inspiration. It's a very, very, very important thing. It might be pleasurable, it might be happiness, it might be enjoyable, right? But it's not inspiration. So he goes on. Imkenu, o ashav avodasi vihislavusi sha'avra alai amidosein. So I'll say, again, if I end up after the moment of inspiration with greater self-restraint, then that was true inspiration. Vim lav chas v'shalom, ta'isi v'ramisi asatzmi. But if not, then it's not inspiration. I'm just kind of like deluding myself a little bit. So we'll say this is it. To me, like, this has been one of the most incredible and pivotal moments I've lost in my whole life. I've been looking to understand. I know that I want to be inspired, but to be honest, before I saw this Piagetsna, I never really understood what it actually meant to be inspired. And now I know. The state of inspiration is the state of being, where the neshama steps out of the body. The neshama becomes the dominant driving force in my life, as manifest by the neshama's ability to control the body. The body's no longer driving the life agenda. My wants, my desires, my proclivities, none of that stuff, that's not the stuff that's driving me. It's still there. But the neshama's keeping it in check. The neshama's setting the agenda. The neshama's steering the car. When the neshama is in control, and ultimately, again, I'm able to exercise restraint, that is the state of inspiration. Which I will say, I just want to point out to you, it's funny, because it's a strange turn of events. Right, because the Piagetsna is teaching us all about being a chassid. So you would have thought that if a chassid, if the Rebbe was defining inspiration, what would inspiration be? It should be like you're floating, right? And you feel like your feet aren't touching the ground, and you feel like the Merkava of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is lifting you up, and Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov are there giving you a hug. Piagetsna says, no, that's not it. It's actually all about self-restraint. It's all about self-restraint. We'll say, let's finish up this paragraph. He says, now we'll say, so what happens? Now watch this. Okay. So now let's play this out. I have this moment of inspiration, quote unquote inspiration. Now remember again, we'll say, let's go through this. In the moment of inspiration, right? In the moment, do I know if it's inspiration or not? Do I know it?
No.
So what do I do? What do I do? Go with it. Just go with it, right? Just go with it. And now, after, right? Now I do my post-inspiration analysis or introspection. So we'll say, it's one of two possibilities. Either A, it was inspiration. How do I know if it was inspiration? How do I know?
Self-restraint.
More self-restraint. I emerge from this and I'm like, I am in control. Or I better stated, my neshama is in control. He's driving the agenda. He's driving the bus, right? He's keeping everything else in check. Now, the second possibility as well, so I emerge from a moment of inspiration and I realize that I don't have additional self-control. As such, what is that time about my moment of inspiration?
It wasn't inspiration.
Okay. So watch this. It says the Piagetsna. So let's, and that happens, by the way. Let's say, can I tell you when I struggle with this most, to be honest, is Purim. Purim is the greatest struggle with this, right? Because we'll say on Purim, like a person could feel like Kodesh Kadoshim. And then what ends up happening, like the next morning, you're trying to like, oh God, let me just reconstruct everything that happened in the day. Like, I hope I didn't say anything, do anything, this, anything. And I always say, you know, Rav Pam, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, he said, do you know how you could tell if you had a good Purim? Are you early for davening the next morning? He says, if you're late for davening the next morning, that was not a good Purim. That was hedonism. Right? That was just you binge drinking. You might as well be in a Jewish fraternity, right? It's the same thing. You were hiding under the banner of Yiddishkeit to just engage hedonistic behaviors. Because otherwise, if it was really a good Purim, I was like, I don't know if it's a good Purim. If the next morning you're like, I gotta get to Shul. I have to get to Daf Yomi. I have to learn Torah. Right? I'm exhausted. Maybe even like a stinkle, whatever, you know. As they say in the Welt, you know, hungover, right? So maybe, but Lamais, at the end of the day, I've got to get myself to Minyan. That's what a Jew does. What does a Jew do on the morning of Shushan Purim? Not walk around with his head in his hands, oh my God, what happened? Right? No, not that. I'll say, I get myself up early, I go to Shir, I daven with the Minyan, and I lead a productive day. It's incredible, right? It's a good litmus test. Oh, see, now many times people after Purim are wandering around like in a haze, right? That's not a Purim. That's hedonism. That's using an opportunity that Yiddishkeit allowed for additional drinking for your own self-serving needs. So the Piagetsna says, so what happens if after the analysis of one of these events, you realize, you know what? It wasn't inspiration. What happens? Right, so again, I do my post-inspiration analysis, and you know what? I don't have any additional self-control. Kavrabali, thank you to Jonas and Kaplan for the beautiful spread tonight. Thank you very much. Shabbat. I didn't thank our sponsors. Who are, I'm sorry.
Yona Lerner and Adam Edelman.
Shkaya Chavra. Beautiful. I'm David, thank you. Okay, so I'll say, so again, so the PhD says, let's say I do the post-inspiration analysis, and I realize, you know what, I don't have any additional self-restraint, which then means that what? That it wasn't inspiration. So look at the PhD on the right. He says, Vim lav chas shom ta'isi v'ramisi esatzmi. Let's say, I'll say, I am now 2, 4, 6, 8 lines up from the bottom of the page. Let's say it turns out that I made a mistake. I wasn't inspired. It wasn't inspiration. It wasn't inspiration. Okay, it was enjoyable. It was fun, but it wasn't inspiration. Aval gam az at hishtrape mimelachtecha v'avodas v'avodascha avodas hakodesh zu. This is what I was mentioning before. That, we'll say, sometimes in life, it turns out that what I thought was inspiration was not inspiration. So what do you do in the aftermath of that? Says Bishas, what do you do? Right? Self-restraint. And before we even get to that, because that's even the next level, is just don't despair. Those people say, you know, in Chassidus, Rabbi Nachum sees about this very often. The Rebbe says that people, when they think about the Yetzirah and the power of the Yetzirah, they think that the power of the Yetzirah is to get us to sin. Rabbi Nachman says it's not true. The greatest tool of the Yetzirah is Yeyush. Yeyush, causing a person to give up hope. Because the truth is, the moment you cause a person to give up hope, then the truth is the door is opened up for even the most egregious of behaviors. So the Rebbe says, you do your post-inspiration analysis, and you realize, you know what, it wasn't inspiration. The Rebbe says, it's okay. It happens. But whatever you do, don't fall into the pit of despair. Whatever you do, don't lose yourself in some type of self-loathing or self-pity. No, move on, he says. He goes on, he says, Shuv hischazek v'shuv taschaba. What is the beauty of Chassidus? What does Chassidus say? Right? You fall down. What do you do? Get back up. Right? That's right. That's it. Right? Sheva yipal tzadik v'kam. Just get back up. Right, exactly. Just get back up. It happens to all of us. Okay, it turns out that it wasn't inspiration. It happens. Just get back up and try again. Hafach ba, v'hafach ba, uminalo sazia. I will say, the ikar is, even if it turns out that what you thought was inspiration wasn't inspiration at all, it's fine. You'll do better next time. You're armed now with new life lessons. You're armed now with new life information. You'll try again later on, and you'll be excellent next time. We'll say, listen to his mashal. This is incredible. Ki'im ha'yazov ha'chol es trufosov im lo pala b'rishona. I will say, if a person is ill and he takes medicine, and the medicine doesn't work the first time, does the person say, oh, forget about this medicine? I will say, can you imagine a person has a headache, he takes Advil, and the Advil doesn't work on the headache, right? It can happen. You can have such a headache like that. Right? So a person says, oh, Advil doesn't work. Yeah. Advil doesn't work. You say, crazy. Okay, for whatever the reason, yeah, whatever kind of headache you had, the Advil didn't work enough for you right then and there. But Lamaisa, you don't give up on the refuah, right? Even though, again, the refuah didn't work over there. Okay, so what do you do? He goes on, he says, Nischazik v'kofel. So what says, it's beautiful. Imlo pala b'rishon, right? Just because the remedy didn't work the first time, doesn't mean that you don't try again. I will say that the difference over here is, lav dafka, remember again, by the remedy, you might take the same Advil again. Right? Remember again, in our topic, you're not going to do this. In other words, if I engaged in something, and it turns out that it didn't translate into greater self-restraint, which means it's not inspiration, obviously I'm not going to do that again. But I'm not going to go ahead and stop trying to find my recipe for inspiration. Mischazik v'kofel, mishana u'mishalashu. You try a second time, you try a third time, you keep trying as many times as you need to do until you find the recipe for inspiration. Yeah?
Why do we need to connect the two events, the example I gave with the person who got drunk on perm and didn't wake up and go to the office the next day? Why didn't he just say that he had an inspiration in the moment?
Because that's exactly what the Piaget's been saying. Inspiration translates into greater self-restraint. Greater self-restraint means the next morning.
But maybe that day, maybe previous perms, he was drinking with bad.
It doesn't mean he committed an avera. It's just not inspiration. Remember, There are no shortcuts. The idea of self-control can manifest itself in different ways. I'm just happy to be sharing it because Rav Pam, Rosh Torah Das, used to give this example. And I happen to think it's a very poignant example because what Purim is as a Yom Tov is an overindulgence on the material. That's really what it is. So the real way you could say, like, are you in the right neshama decalibration? Is what happens the next morning, right? So in other words, if the next morning you're just a mess, right, and you're just indulging the body, okay, you're just out of caliber. Again, doesn't mean you're a rasha. It's just saying, don't claim that Purim was such a holy point of inspiration when ultimately, again, in the Piagetsna's model, it didn't translate into a greater source of self restraint. Again. Do I think it could be different for different people in different circumstances? Absolutely, it could be right. 2 years ago on Purim, I did X, and now Baruch Hashem, this year, you know, I didn't. So that is a self restraint. Again, I'm kind of speaking just in a generality type of way.
When you have the inspiration, that'll give you, you know, the self restraint. But after the inspiration, you might not have that same self restraint.
So
maybe on Purim you had the self restraint, but then the next morning.
No. The act has to result. In other words, okay, like if you could demonstrate that. Again, Chevra, don't get bogged down in the examples, right? The example of Purim is just an example I'm giving. Again, you could touch up that example however you want. Again, the point, let's not lose ourselves in the weeds over here. The point that the Piagetsna is trying to make is, let's say, for the first time in my life, we have a working definition of inspiration. Inspiration is perhaps the most amorphous like term that's used. It means so many different things. So right, for some people, inspiration, you know, Tikkun Olam, we're gonna clean up Western Run Stream. You know, that's inspiration, right? For some people, you know, it's advancing this. For other people, it's learning a Blat Gemara. What is it? What is it? What the Piagetsna is doing is giving a definition. The definition of inspiration is any moment of elevation that puts the neshama in the dominant role of the driver's seat, allows it to step out of the body, and allows the neshama to exercise self-control over the bodily drives and desires. That's inspiration. If the moments you have in life lead to that, then those are inspired moments. If they don't lead to that, says the Piagetsna, it doesn't mean they're bad. I want to be clear, it doesn't mean they're bad. It just means that they're not moments of inspiration. And I was thinking, when do we figure all of this out? Remember, this is all takes place when? When does all this take place? In the post-inspiration analysis, right? In the post-inspiration, you know. And I will say, again, the beauty of the Piagetsna is, what is he preparing us for? Well, I think, you know, what is the Rebbe preparing us for? When you read his words, what do you think he's preparing us for? Absolutely. What reality is he preparing us for? That most things that we think are inspiring are probably not inspiring. I think that's what he's really preparing us for, because I think we associate inspiration with like a feeling, right? I'm inspired. I'm inspired as if inspiration is like a momentary, like episodic state of being, right? And the Piagetsna says, no, that's not inspiration. Inspiration is actually not what happens in the moment. Inspiration is measured by what happens after the moment. I think, Rose, what the Rebbe is preparing us for is, very often the things in life that we may think are inspirational, maybe beautiful, maybe wonderful, maybe very nice, but are not necessarily inspirational. And what do you find out? What do you do when you find out? Which I think many of us do, that the things perhaps that we thought were inspirational aren't really that inspirational. What does it ever tell us? It's okay. Just keep trying again. But the model is always the same. In the moment of inspiration, don't think about it. Don't doubt it. Just go with it. Afterwards, then engage in the analysis and then try to see if it was truly a moment of dramatic inspiration. We'll say, wow. Wow, wow, wow. We'll stop over here for tonight. Shkaich, everyone. Ma'arif.
Rabbi, on Thursday nights, I do this self-help seminar based on Dr. Abraham Lowe. And he has this one shot.
Sure,
it's like a saying that we say. It says, every act of self-control needs to